Well, I want to continue here. And last Sunday, we were sharing some thoughts, and I want to kind of expand upon this a little bit today. Last Sunday, we looked at, if you were here, just a refresher, a kind of reminder. Last Sunday, we talked about 3 points. We were talking about God being with us. His name was called to be called Jesus, or he says his name was Emmanuel, or God with us. And so we looked at God being present, these 3 points, God being present or with us, and God's promises. And we saw here that Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy will." And he did that. She was conceived and brought forth the Lord Jesus. And so our point was, if he honored that promise, then God has to honor all of his promises that he's made to us. And so we looked at that, and we looked at God's peace. And then Wednesday, we just took a look at the scriptures in Luke and Matthew, and we looked at just from the vantage point of, you know, Christmas and this season is a wonderful time. It's a time of family and traditions and so forth, but it also can be, for some, it can be a hard time. It can be a very stressful time. And so we looked at this story, and so, you know, what's interesting is we always look at it through one view, but when you look at Mary and Joseph, that wasn't really a great time for them, was it? It was a very, very difficult, stressful time for them. Here she is pregnant, and in a society, even when you look at it, what happened? She's saying, "Lord, what is this?" She was perplexed, and then had to do what? Believe God, the words that were spoken. And then look what Joseph. Joseph it said he was pondering some thoughts. And what happened? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Take Mary, your wife, as your wife." So then during that time and that season, they had a census. She's with child. And she has to go to Bethlehem. That was about 80 miles from where they were on a donkey. That wasn't, you know, they didn't make reservations at a hotel on the way. So you can see, from just the natural standpoint, this was a very, very difficult time and a stressful time. But what made the difference? And this was the point we were sharing on Wednesday. The difference was they believed God. They believed the words that were spoken to them, and they looked unto him, and it went well for them, didn't it? They looked to God, and it went well for them. So this was the point we were making, was the Christmas season here can be filled, if you let it, it can be filled with joy, or it can be filled with stress, and the choice is yours. You've got to look to who? Look to him for direction, for guidance, and it'll go well with you. And that was the point we're making. So today I wanted to kind of add a little bit to this. And today I wanted to look at, you know, sometimes we look at the Christmas story in one way, and we do, and we should. But I wanted to take today and just look at the involvement of the Holy Spirit in the whole birth of Christ. And look at that and see from the scripture just how significant that is and how that relates to us today, you see. So as we, you know, again, as we look at just this season that we're in, this is, it's a season, and we all have different traditions and family gatherings and so forth. But it's typically, you know, we call it a very joyful time. I want to read this quote. You may know the person, you may not. He's up in age. But this was written by a pastor and an author by the name of Stuart, Stuart Briscoe, Briscoe, Stuart Briscoe. He was over a church called the Elmbrook Church out in Milwaukee suburb. But this is what he said: the spirit of Christmas needs to be superseded by the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christmas is annual. The spirit of Christ is eternal. The spirit of Christmas is sentimental. The spirit of Christ is supernatural. The spirit of Christmas is a human product. The spirit of Christ is a divine person. That makes all the difference in the world. So you can see he just wrote this comparing the two. But wanted to take a look at the Spirit of God in the role or the process of the birth of Christ. And let's turn over and just look at a few scriptures here in John 16. John 16, 7, and John 14, 16, and 7. So the Holy Spirit that brought Christ into the earth is the same Holy Spirit. See, this is what we want to point out. It's the same Holy Spirit that's present with us today. And he's with us and in us. And John 16, verse 7, it says, nevertheless, you're familiar with this, nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, or the Passion Translation says it's to your advantage, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And the Amplified, when it says the Comforter, in parentheses, it says the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, and the Standby. I like the Passion Translation. He refers to him as the Divine Encourager. I like that. Now let's look at John 14, 16, and verses 16 and 17. And he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may do what? Abide with you for how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be where? In you. He's going to be in us. So during this season, as we celebrate his birth, remember his birth, that was the beginning. But let's pay attention to who? The Holy Spirit in this process. Let's take a look and let's look at the beginning here. Let's go back to Genesis for a moment. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at verse 15, because this involved the Holy Spirit. He was present here. And when we look at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, see, who was Adam clothed with? God's what? Glory. And so here in verse 15, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let me read this from the Amplified. I will put enmity, or open hostility, between you and the woman, and between your seed, offspring, and her seed, and he shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel. So we can see here that the Holy Spirit was there, and he was present. And we can also look, I'm not going to have you go look at this point, but when we look through the scriptures and we look at the Psalms, if you notice, Psalm 100 is the most referenced Psalm. Psalm 110 is the most quoted Psalm in the New Testament. And Jesus referred to this Psalm in Matthew 22. And verse 44. But Psalm 2, look at the decree here. In verse 7, it says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So you can see throughout Scripture the revealing of God's will concerning his Son coming to redeem mankind because of what? Adam's fall. And so we can see the moment Adam fell in the garden, God was planning what? He planned to fix it, because at that point, man was what? Separated from God. And God immediately put a plan in place to get his man back. And that involved the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Isaiah 7 and verse 14. We looked at these in Isaiah 9, 6. But you can see from the Old Testament that God began to do what? He gave details of his birth. He forecast it. He began to give details of his birth before he was born. So you can see here in Isaiah 7, it says, therefore, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold what? A virgin, this is a sign, a virgin shall do what? Shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be what? Called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this prophecy was given some 600 years before it began to be fulfilled. So God was revealing his plan. I'm just making this point. He's revealing his plan to get his man back, mankind back. So here, let's take another look here. In Micah chapter 5, 2, he begins to reveal the location of the birth. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, God is revealing his plan, isn't he? He's revealing the details of the birth and the location of the birth. It says here in Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me," that is to be what? Ruler of in Israel, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Hallelujah. So we can see here that this story, actually you could say this Christmas story, didn't just start in Bethlehem. It actually started, really, God's plan started in the Garden of Eden with fallen man. So here, you can see eventually, as we see here, Satan did what? He deceived Eve, Adam sinned, and what happened? They became separated from the Creator, from God. And Satan, what? He thought he had the victory, but God created a plan to get them back, didn't he? And what did he do? He spoke to the serpent, "Because you've done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And then he said, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." So God initiated a plan to redeem mankind, and he needed a Savior, who was Jesus. Now let's take a look here. We talk about time frame and seasons. Let's look at the book of Daniel. We don't normally look at this, but let's take another look at a scripture here in the book of Daniel. And verse 24 and 25. Daniel, I thought it said chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 and 25. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. You can read along in the King James or Amplified, whatever. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. You know, when you think about this, I remember years ago, we were up in Massachusetts, the choir was, and I remember some guy walked up to Pastor Clinton and said, something to the effect, "I don't believe in God, I don't believe in all this, you know, blah, blah, blah." Some unintelligent comment. And then, you know, because the Bible, when I say unintelligent, the Bible says a fool says there's no God. So he was a fool. And so Pastor Clinton began to share with him. He said, "Let me ask you a question." You know, that's why sometimes, instead of just quickly respond, I love the answer he gave him. He said to him, he said, "We're in a hotel with the choir," and he said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "You see this hotel and all of this here?" He said, "Do you think that somebody sat down and planned and made blueprints and designed this before they built it?" He said, "Sure, absolutely." He said, "God did the same thing with the earth. Somebody planned and built this earth," and he said, "there was an intelligence behind it. It just didn't come together." And so, you know, the person went, Made him think. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and 25, it's in the Amplified. 70 weeks of years, or 490 years. I'm reading from the, not the classic Amplified, but just the regular Amplified. "Have been decreed for your people and for your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make atonement, a reconciliation for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, right standing with God, to seal up vision and prophecy and prophet, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and understand that for the issuance of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of Messiah, the Anointed One, the Prince, there will be what? 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks of years. It will be built again with a city, plaza, and moat, even in times of trouble. So we can see here, God gave a time frame for the birth of Christ. In prophecy, he gave it. Now let's take a look. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through 38. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 26 of Luke 1, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'But how can this happen? I am a virgin.' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail.' Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true.' Then the angel left her." So we can see here the angel Gabriel did what? Came to do what? Bring a message from God to Mary. Mary did what? She received those words and believed them. And basically, because of that, we can see here that the Holy Spirit did what? He moved upon her so that she would conceive. But she had to believe. But it was the working of the Holy Spirit in this. So one of the things that when you think about this, you know, some people even today say this, I don't believe this, because they're trying to comprehend it in their human reasoning. But it's beyond human reasoning. Actually, when you think about it, it's beyond our human reasoning that someone would conceive without knowing a man. That's not, you know, as they say, that's not possible. Right? But we all know this. Luke 18:27, it says, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So what's not possible, humanly speaking, is possible with God. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Ghost. So now here, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. So we talk about seasons. This, we can see that God sent Jesus at the right time. He says so in the scripture, Galatians 4. He actually used, if we look at it in the New Living Translation of Galatians 4, 4 and 4, 5, it says that in the New Living. It says, but when the right time came, see, so there had to be a right time. He prophesied it hundreds of years before. He planned it when man fell, but there had to be a right time. And that's what he said. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to do what? To buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Hallelujah. Now turn over to Matthew 2 and verse 13. We can also see here that the Holy Spirit moved supernaturally to protect Jesus and his family. We can see that in Scripture. See, just trying to point out when we look at these, this Christmas story and the life of Jesus on this earth, we can see the work of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 2 and verse 13, and this is talking about, you know, the wise men coming and so forth, but it says in verse 13, and when they were departed, this is the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and do what? Flee into Egypt. He's protecting them. And be thou there until I bring thee what? Word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So we can see the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. He's the same. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, that I send you a comforter, a helper, an advocate. So if he protected Jesus and his family then, how much more will he do the same for us? That's the point. He'll do the same for us today if we believe him. Let's look at, well, you don't have to look there. I'll just reference this. God does not change. Therefore, his spirit doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. So if God doesn't change, neither does the operation of the Holy Ghost. James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is what? No variableness, nor shadow of turning. So the Spirit of God will move for you to provide for you in your spiritual areas of your life, in your physical area of your life, and also in the material area of your life. God will supernaturally move if you do what? You look to him in belief. That's the key. That's what Mary and Joseph did. He spoke to them. And they responded. They believed and they responded. And it went well for them. Right? So think about this. When you think about how the devil was operating to destroy Jesus, the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost outmaneuvered him. He moved people so that they would be protected. So let me ask this question. Do you think that the Holy Ghost can operate in your life and outmaneuver people that are trying to do you harm? Yes. That's the point. That's the point. So people that are out to do you harm, the Holy Ghost working in your life can outmaneuver them. That's a comfort. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. He said, it's expedient that I go away, so I send you another comforter, a helper. So he can work on our life and say, he'll wake you up in the middle of the night and say, go over there. Don't drive there. Don't leave at this time. He can protect you. He can outmaneuver the effects that the devil's trying to destroy you and your family and your children and your husband and wife and all the stuff that you have. He can outmaneuver the devil. That's the exciting thing to me. God doesn't change. If he did it for Jesus and his family, Mary and Joseph, he'll do it for us because he doesn't change. See, I know you know that, but it's good to be reminded. So the Holy Spirit will orchestrate events in our lives if we just believe him. You know, a lot of people are trying to figure stuff out. He'll orchestrate things for you so that it'll go well if we just believe him, if we look to him. Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke 1:35. This was just a reminder here of what he said to Mary. See, think about this. He moved, the Holy Spirit moved supernaturally on Mary. If he can move supernaturally on individuals in Bible times in the past, he can move supernaturally on us today. He doesn't change. God doesn't change. What did he say to Mary? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, that's why I'm so fixed in my thinking and in my heart regarding the prophecies given to this ministry. I'm like, you can't move me. I don't care what you say. Because God spoke through men and women inspired by the Holy Ghost and spoke things about this ministry for our benefit. And he's looking for someone just like Mary, Joseph, and all of those that would believe the words that were spoken to them and say, be it unto me according to your will. And the Holy Ghost will then help us to bring about those events if we believe. And he will help you bring to pass and orchestrate those things he's spoken to you. Either what? The promises of God or something to you personally. If you will just do what? Hold on to it. And say, God spoke this to me, be it unto me, just as you've spoken. And don't get off it. Don't budge. Amen. So we can see here the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in this whole Christmas story. That's why it's important. You know, we look at it sometimes in other ways, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to look at it this particular way. So we need to say, as I said, we need to say the same thing regarding God's word to us. So he kept his word regarding the promise to Mary, and he will keep his word concerning all the other promises in the Word of God. Amen. That's why when it says, let us hold fast, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So here, the Holy Spirit, again, I'm going to make this point again. The Holy Spirit is with us here right now, living in us and with us to move in our lives as he moved in the life of Mary. He doesn't change. Obviously not for the same reasons, but for the promises of God and to fulfill the words spoken to us, right? What did Jesus say in John 10:10? He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you have what? You might have life, and that you might have it what? More abundantly. Who's going to help us have that life more abundantly? The Holy Spirit is. He's going to empower us. He's going to assist us to bring that about in our lives. Hallelujah. So we need to just remember that the Holy Spirit was involved from the beginning. He was involved at the time of his birth. He was there and present, you could say. And it's important to remember that, yes, we celebrate his birth, his beginning, but we can't just stay there, right? I mean, we take this time to celebrate the beginning of his life. But the point is, the Holy Spirit was there. He was there during his earthly ministry. What does it say? How God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with who? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So the Holy Spirit was with him throughout his ministry, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I'll guarantee you, the Holy Spirit's going to be present. Who's going to cause us to be captured up into the air? The Holy Ghost, the power of God. He's going to be with him in his return, that whole event. So it's good here that we remember who was the one that anointed the prophets of old. It was the Holy Spirit. He was involved in bringing Jesus into the world. He was involved in anointing him. Now think about these scriptures. Who's involved with anointing us? It's the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit. Not a different Spirit, the same Spirit. 1 John 2:27, it says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Who's that? That's the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that overshadowed Mary is with us and in us. And he said, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Think about 1 John 4:4. Familiar scripture. You of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who, the Holy Spirit, that is in us than he that is in the world. So the same Spirit that anointed Jesus, the same Spirit that overshadowed Mary and caused her to conceive, is the same Spirit that anointed the prophets. It's the same Spirit that protected Jesus and his family. The same Spirit lives in us. He's the same. He hasn't changed. He hasn't lost any of his power. He's the same God. He is the power of God. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. And it's the same Spirit that did what? It's the same Spirit that when we believed and confessed Jesus, the Holy Ghost did what? He came in, the power of God did what? Changed us, changed our spirit. So this is why I'm saying when we look at what the Holy Spirit did in that whole Christmas story. He was available then. He's available for us today if we do what? Believe. And that's the whole key, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that he's raised from the dead, that we'll be saved. And the Holy Ghost will come in and change us by the power of God. He'll protect us. He'll meet every one of our needs, just like he met their needs. During stressful times, during, as we could say, during your time of need, the Holy Spirit is there to do what? To help us, to comfort us, to guide us. Isn't that exciting? I think it's exciting. And we need not, you know, I know we focus on this time and we get, you know, focused on that, but as we're going through this time, this celebration, this season, remember the Spirit of God. Remember the Holy Ghost and how he was involved in that and that he's involved in your life. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away because I'm going to send you someone that can help you. Live an abundant life. Live a successful life. And we need to just remember that and thank God for him. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Take time to thank him every day. I do. I thank him. I say, thank you for being with me today. Thank you for guiding me today. Thank you for giving me wisdom today. Just acknowledge his presence. He's there to do what? Help you. How would you like it if somebody's there to help you and you never acknowledge it? Guess what? You don't get any help. Right? I think God is helping us the best we can, best he can. And sometimes we're not taking the offer, right? We're not acknowledging him. And we need to. We need to say that sometimes. The same supernatural power that overshadowed Mary is with me. And he's here to help me. He's here to protect me. I mean, I think right now I can count three times that without God's intervention by his Spirit, I'd be dead. I'm serious. As sure as I'm standing here. So whenever you think you got it all together, just remember who protected you. Just remember, I do. I remember the Holy Ghost speaking to me and telling me if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That was 6 months. That was in July. And he said, you won't see the end of the year. And I obeyed eventually. And I went. And it was a dietary change. But if I hadn't, I asked this nutritionist, I said, how bad was this? He said, if you had waited one more week, they would have opened you up. So I knew when he said that to me, if they had opened me up, it would have been a slippery slide. And I wouldn't have seen the end of the year. And there were two other times that I'm telling you, sometimes I put my head down at night and I said, Jesus, thank you for saving my life. Thank you for protecting me. Because here's the point. God knows for each one of us, our path in life is different. But you do know that the more you're used of God, the more of a threat you are because of the more people you touch. So the devil's going to try to do what? He's going to try to work at destroying you. You know, think about that. If Mary hadn't said yes, her yes affected mankind. Your yes can affect generations of people. When you say yes to God and you obey and you work, help him work out that plan, it affects generations. It's never about you. So just always remember that, the work of the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive this time of the year. You know, that's what I like when we were meeting with this person during this past week. As we just shared with him, he said, "I just don't have peace about that." I said, "Yeah, peace is the Prince of Peace. And he will bear witness with our heart through peace. And he'll guide us by peace, his peace." I didn't recognize it. I see Corey and Natalie sitting with us. But I like what he says, and I won't reference it, but he said something to the effect that when people come, they look for people of peace. See, I like that term, that way of expressing it, people of peace. We should be people of peace, led by peace. We have the Spirit of peace. We have God's peace, and he'll lead us through peace if we yield, if we look to the Holy Spirit inside of us. Peace will lead us. And so let's just keep that in mind as we go through this season. You know, I was saying Wednesday, you know, when we get together sometimes, you know, with family, you know, family comes from various settings and different backgrounds. Sometimes that can be an interesting time. I'll just say that. And everybody may not think like you, talk like you, but and act like you. But you can let peace rule. You can bring peace into a setting where there's not peace. And you can let the Spirit of peace, the anointing that's upon you, lead you and guide you, just like he led Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit of peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us, the greater one. Thank you for helping us. Thank you that you are greater, greater than he that's in the earth, greater than the devil, greater than our adversary, greater than the one who's trying to destroy us and ruin us. Thank you that you are greater. And we thank you. Thank you for leading us and guiding us in our lives. Thank you that you're leading and guiding us into all truth. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus, for his birth, as we remember his birth. But we're so grateful that he didn't stay there. Oh, we're so grateful that he came. We're so grateful that he came and went to the cross, and he bore our sins and iniquities and our sicknesses, and he went to the grave. But oh, thank God, when things were paid for, when sin was paid for, he was released and raised from the dead. And we thank you so much, Master, that you're now seated at the right hand of God, and we're seated there with you. We thank you. But oh, it doesn't stop there. We thank you that you're coming soon again to receive us unto you. And there we'll spend eternity with you. And we're so grateful. But in the meantime, you sent us your Spirit to help us, to help fulfill your plan here in the earth. And so, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you today and thank you for helping fulfill the Master's plan so that we can reach more people next year. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen.